Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back conducting a very special conversation with an old and dear friend, Douglas Murray, of the Henry Jackson Society in the United Kingdom, formerly the founder of the Center for Social Cohesion, a columnist for Standpoint, and a senior fellow at the Gatestone Institute. And Douglas, we're talking about the crisis that is racking Europe at the moment. Britain is, as you say, outside of the sort of open borders Schengen arrangement, and yet is being buffeted by the same demands to take more of these folks. The Germans have apparently expected 800,000 of them, still more coming forward by the day. Is there any way this can possibly come out in a manageable form unless and until you stop the flow of these refugees?
Well, you know, I said earlier, the problem is that a lot of people think from all political sides that there's a straightforward solution to this, and there just isn't. Obviously, on the one hand, if the situation in Syria was stabilized, then a percentage, 40% or so of the problem could be solved. But nobody has a real plan for how to stabilize Syria at the moment. It's highly unlikely that it's in any European country's gift. And even if that were in our gift, we don't have the capability, for instance, to stabilize Eritrea. One of the other myths is that people say, and the British Home Secretary said it only the other day, that as it were, if you raise living standards in some of these countries, you would sort out the migration problem. Again, flat out wrong. In actual fact, all the studies show that if you raise living standards, you get more refugees because they have the capability and the funds to come over. So what are the solutions? There are a whole set of things that need to be done about this. But the first thing is for European leaders to realize what is possible and what is undesirable. At the moment, the European Commission is trying to impose, with Chancellor Merkel's approval, a quota system on European countries where they are forced to take a certain number of migrants. And I mention that for a very important reason. The European Commission that is doing that has already conceded that the numbers it wishes to impose are totally insufficient for the numbers coming. So we have a real problem coming, because if, as is happening at the moment, the European leadership across the board demands something which the European publics unanimously in a majority in each country do not want, you have a severe democratic problem at very short time down the road. And that's what worries me most.
Douglas Murray, one of the folks who is also facing a leadership challenge at the moment as we speak is the Australian Prime Minister, Tony Abbott. I am told that he addressed the Europeans some months back and said, listen, you have to stop these boats from coming. He said, you don't have to do it a great many times before they realize that this isn't going to work and they will stop coming. This isn't going to solve the internal problems within Syria or Eritrea or any place else, but it might have a salutary effect on the flows elsewhere. What are your thoughts on that? And it seemed to have been ignored till now by the Europeans. Is there likely to be a change of heart?
I think there are several things that the Australian experience in the last decade should have taught us, which we will learn, but we'll learn very late. Any Australian involved in the slightly similar migration crisis that they had knows that you cannot encourage the boats, because if you encourage them, more and more come. And the second thing they learned was to keep people off Australian soil. I spoke to an Australian official some time ago who said, you know, you will end up doing what we did. You will end up paying North African countries to have processing areas, and you'll keep people out of European soil, and you'll do the processing, as it were, trying to work out who's who there. I think that's inevitably what we're going to do, but that conversation hasn't yet started in Europe. I mean, I mentioned that because once people arrive, and I've seen this myself at the front line of this, once people arrive in European waters, they are in Europe, and they do not get sent back, even if their claim is clearly an economic migrant claim. There's just not a system for sending them back. So everybody who gets in is there. At the Spectator magazine, where I'm associate editor, last week we ran with our cover image, Angela Merkel as a siren, calling the people across the waves. And that is effectively what she is doing. Even the New York Times last week, after another appeal by the German leadership to take in yet more people, even the New York Times on its front page reported a massive upsurge of people from Nigeria, because they also, like everybody else in these parts of the world, sees that a window has opened, and Europe, inexplicably, crazily, madly, seems to be willing to take as many people as come for a period of time. And that is a huge challenge.
This would seem like the example you cited a moment ago of suddenly borders coming closed rather than being permanently open, that may be subject to a rather quick turnaround if Europe finds that the only solution their interior ministers of Europe meeting today, that this is the only possible means of slackening the infusion of still further people. And I'm interested in this in part, of course, out of sympathy for our friends in Europe and what is befalling them. In that same piece that I mentioned earlier by Peggy Noonan in the Wall Street Journal, Douglas, as you know, our friend and colleague Melanie Phillips, now a columnist for the Times of London, is quoted as saying that what is likely to happen if there isn't some redress here is, quote, altering the cultural balance of the country forever, unquote. And I guess she's speaking there of the United Kingdom, but it would be true of any of those countries, really, wouldn't it? And what should we be thinking here in the United States as we're being told we must step up to the plate and begin accepting large numbers of these refugees as well?
Well, my own view is that this has to be very carefully thought through. The first thing is, what are our obligations to various refugees? It's my view that taking a certain number of asylum seekers from Syria is a legitimate thing to do, with careful screening, careful working out who they are, and so on. But the primary countries where they ought to be is in the neighboring countries to the country they have fled. It's always the most desirable thing. It is highly undesirable, I think, for most migrants to be taken so far away from their society. I mean, it is much better that a Syrian refugee has a job in Turkey than that they are plonked in Norway on social security. So that's one thing that America and others have to think of. But as for the what should we think? There is one thing in particular which I would very much caution American listeners on. There is an American, as it were, free marketeer view, which was recently expressed disgracefully by the head of the International Organization of Migration in the Wall Street Journal, no less, saying that Europe has an aging population. And therefore, these new arrivals are a very desirable thing because they can provide the next generation. This is, I hope I don't need to tell you and your listeners, this is a message for collective suicide dressed up as a palliative care measure.
And, you know, again, it seems to be at work in some capitals that there will be, through this demographic infusion, a means of, improving what is the time bomb of economic as well as perhaps demographic of an aging population that cannot sustain itself and so on. But it does, it seems to me, portend whether these are people who are Islamists or simply Muslim and susceptible to the blandishments of those who are Islamists in these countries to affect really their fundamental transformation, to use President Obama's words, over time at the very least. And Douglas Murray, I want to visit with you about specifically how this is likely to work if, in fact, we cannot, as you put it, carefully screen and work out who are these refugees. We've had in this country, as you may know, the FBI testifying before Congress that in the case of the Syrian refugees, many of them at least have no identities to speak of at all, no backgrounds to check, no ability, in other words, of the FBI to vet them. So when we come back, I'd like to talk with you a bit about how this can work if we are unable to discern among this madding crowd who are the folks that genuinely have ill motives and that may profess an identity other than their own, denying us the ability to screen them out. So we'll talk about that and much more as it relates in particular to our own challenges in this regard with Douglas Murray, the Associate Director of the Henry Jackson Society, right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.